We shall see the King someday. What a nice hope we have in Christ. But I thank God for giving me this wonderful time once again to be here with all of you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for to be so friendly with us. We really appreciate. I feel at home. I feel at home when I am with Christians. I feel at home. As I said last night, me and my son, we are coming. Chile is 6,000 miles from here. So that reason I said I feel at home. The topic I'd like to talk tonight is the word is God as a Father. The Bible uses this term in four senses. And the term Father, let me say this to you, is a most meaningful term in the Scripture, in which the word Father is connected absolutely with God. The first sense of this word is the human family. In one way, God is the Father of the mankind. In what way? God is the Father of mankind because He is the creator and the sustainer of our existence. We are here because He created us, and we were created in the image and likeness of God. You can read this in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, what I have said. And in Genesis 1, 26, the Bible said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So we are the product of His creation. The Bible, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, Acts 17, 28 and 29, said the following. So that they should seek the Lord in hope, 28, 29, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. I said before, we are the product of God. In Him, this verse says, in Him we live. In Him we move and have our being. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and 45, Jesus said, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. This is a mark of His offspring. Also, in the book of John 3:16, we can read that the love of God is for the entire world. God so loved the world. And what he wants, according to the book of 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, 4, the Apostle Paul said, one of the wishes of our Lord, second, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who decides all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God desires are. God so loved the world. So the term is used in this particular way. God is the father of the mankind. Let me give you another verse. The book of Acts, speaking the Apostle Paul in a synagogue, 14 verse 17, the Bible says 14:17. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That was the way that our Lord showed his love for his mankind. He created the man, and he had been so merciful with all the humanity. There is another sense that the word is used in the Bible. It has to see with the nation of Israel. I would say in this part that the term is used in a very unique way. God was the father of the nation of Israel. But in a very... they were a special people with a redemptive role. The book of Exodus, Old Testament, 19:5, the Bible said the following. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenants, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Israel, in a very unique way, was chosen by God, and God was the father of the nation in this special way. Isaac spoke of the loving kindnesses of God and his great goodness toward the house of Israel. You can read this in Isaiah 63, verses 6-19, and you will see how good was God with them. 63:7-19. God's mercy with these people. I would mention, I mentioned the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But that is a sad word in the back. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. The book of Hosea 11:1, it says that Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea is saying, he's telling us the way that the Lord is saying for this nation, my son. It's a beautiful way, the love that God showed to this nation. I'm sorry if I can't say this. They grieved His Holy Spirit. They didn't obey His words. And the last thing they did, they murdered their own Messiah. Some people say today that Israel is the people of God. That's not true. We are the people of God. You know what happened with this nation? It was destroyed. It was destroyed. All the Hebrew system, according to the word of the Lord. Let's see some verses. Matthew chapter 22, verse 7. It's a parable. It's a parable of the wedding feast. I will read it to you. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest says that his servants treated them spitefully and killed them. Look at verse 7. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city." That's what Jesus is telling, what it will happen to them. Matthew 22, in the parable of the wheat vine dressers, the Lord told the same. Hear another parable. Verse 33. "There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into the far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servant to the vine dressers that they might receive his fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent out servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. The last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. come, let us kill him, and seize her and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and kill him. Look, verse 40. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to them, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and leave his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? Let's read verse 43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. That's what happened to the nation of it. This Israel. Israel is not now the nation of the Lord. We have in Matthew, I'm giving another verse, Matthew 23, when Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Verse 37, the Bible said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The chapter 24, you know what happened to Jerusalem. The Lord explains here. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple and all this system of Israel. This is another way the term is used in the Bible. It's about Jesus Christ. And the term Father is used in this way in a very special, singularly unusual way. God was the Father of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, the Bible said something very important in that passage. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The important word is he is begotten, unique, one kind. The Bible said that God was the Father of Jesus Christ. David prophesied of the relationship where he represents the Father, saying Psalm 2:7, you are my Son. Let's go to Psalm 2. This is a beautiful psalm, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. This has nothing to see. When some people say God, Jesus was a creation of God, has nothing to see. The Bible is saying about the relationship. The relationship. You know, according to John 1, verse 1, Jesus Christ was with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, when this relationship began, let's read verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The relation commenced with the incarnation of Christ. But not in the beginning. In the beginning, according to John 17, I will try to remember the verse. When Jesus prayed for his disciples, verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Before the world was. So this relationship began, I repeat it again, with the incarnation of Christ. And God, at both the baptismal scene and the incident of the transfiguration, the Father said aloud, you know that, "You are my son," Matthew chapter 3 and 17. Let's go first to Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. And suddenly in the baptism, when Jesus Christ was baptized, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The same thing happened in the scene of the transfiguration of our Lord. In that way, in that special, singularly, and unusual way, God was the Father of Jesus Christ. But now is the most important thing. In the most wonderful way, in the most wonderful way, the Bible used the word Father of the redeemed. Who are they? Those who have submitted to the new birth process. We become children of God in this way. By the implantation of the seed. What seed? The Word of God. The Gospel of the Lord. According to Peter 1:23, 1 Peter 1:23, "Having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever." When someone hears the word of God and have faith in the word of God and believe the word of God, because this is a process, he is then immersed in water, entering in a relationship with Christ. When we are in Christ, we receive this wonderful blessing of the Lord. We become children of God. Last night, I said something about the book of Galatians, where I preach chapter 3, 20, 20, 26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ." And I said, a lot of people read just verse 26. And they leave off the verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And I said, The preposition for in the beginning of the verse 27 connect both verses. And I said also, look at in verse 26, it says, you are, I said, it's present tense. You are awesome, O God. But 27, it said, you as were baptized into Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, and then you are present tense, Son of God. Is that simple to understand? There's one way to become Son of God and enter in this wonderful relationship with Christ. A lady asked me something that, and I would like to answer your question you did to me, because this is the most important part of the sermon. One of the most important part. Try to you understand that we are in what way we are now. God is our Father. And she said to me how I be saved in a few words. And I said, read in the Bible. Wow. Yeah, that was real. I said last night that I was a foreign exchange student here in Portland, Indiana. And when I came living here, I was Catholic. I was 17 years old. I didn't know any other religion, just Catholicism. And I lived with a Christian family here. I didn't know about that. They were a member of the Church of Christ. Well, I attended many times to his congregation. They gave me a New Testament, and for the first time I began to read the New Testament. But when I came back to my country, I didn't find any church, any congregation with that name. So I became a believer in Jesus Christ. I went to attend a congregation. I would say it was a kind of Pentecostal congregation where I was member there for about 10 years. But during those 10 years, one of the things I did, it was read and read and read the Bible until I took the decision to leave that place with other people and began to preach what in that moment I understood. We began to practice the Lord's Supper, the offering, but I didn't know much about the baptism. And the group grew rapidly. In 1 year, we had 50. In 2 years, 70. A lot of people came from other cities to hear what was happening. And one day, one gospel preacher from the Church of Christ came to my home. He was impressed. He had heard what was happening in the city. He was impressed because we were using Church of Christ material. And he began to talk to me. And we started to study. And he showed me that my baptism, it was not correct. And some other things were not too. So one night, reading all the text that he gave it to me, I arrived at the conclusion that I was lost and I needed to be baptized for forgiveness of my sins. So I called him immediately and I said, I have understood the truth. It was raining. It was raining very heavy. I never thought he would come. In about 10 minutes, he was at my door. And I said, let's go. Let's go now. It was raining. It was raining very heavy. It was a storm rain. And we went to the river. The river, I don't know how he did so, but we did it. And I was baptized. And then the next Sunday, I stood up in front of the audience, the congregation, and I said, I haven't taught all the truth. I want to teach how a person becomes children of God. And I explained to them the way that they needed to believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of the sins. By the way, right now, I don't baptize anyone who first doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and can confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If he is not convinced that, if you're not convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will not baptize you, because it's a condition for to be baptized. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Do you remember Daniel? Chapter 8, Acts 8, the Bible said, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This you need. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, for to be baptized. That he is God in flesh. That is your Savior. And there is a way for you to become children of God. And I said to the audience, how many of you want to be children of God? 50% of the congregation said, we want to be baptized. And the whole group, we went to the river, and we singing praises of the Lord. About 30 people were baptized, and we established the Church of Christ in my own town. Sunday afternoon, I will talk about more about these things. But the only thing I want to try to tell you tonight, that God is our Father in this wonderful way. There is not any other way. He is our Father now. And that is a very important thing. When God is your Father, He will take care of you in all things. Your request be, what you have to do now is let your request be made known to God. According to Peter, First of Peter 5:7. It's a wonderful promise of the Lord to us, because He is our Father now. 1 Peter 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until. Until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. I'm right. Okay, I'm wrong, I think. I hope James. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, casting all your care upon Him. That's right. For He cares of you. If you have God as your Father, you need to believe this. He cares for you. And what do you have to do then? Well, Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, and this is a nice verse in the Bible. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God knows everything because of your Father. He knows where you are, in what way you are in this world. But be anxious for nothing. I don't know if you ask me how this works. I don't know. The only thing I have to do is my request be made known to Him. He will do His will on you. You know what? God is your Father, and you are more valued than many sparrows. You have a great value for Him. Psalm 46:1, the Bible says He is our refuge and strength. In the book of Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul, it said something, a word, I can. Philippians 3, well, I can find it. I had to speak in the preacher training, and I don't remember the verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse the Bible says, I can all things. Oh, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. And the Apostle Paul, he suffered many things in this world for preaching the gospel of the Lord, even prisons. But he learned by experience. And he wrote this, I can. If he could, I can. I can all things. And you know why I can do all things? Because the fear of God is in all things. He knows everything. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This is the source that we need. Christ is sufficiently. It's all sufficient for us. God will take care of us because we are His children. And He loves us. He is our refuge. The Bible says His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Let me tell you something. He's close to you. He's not far away from you. He's so close. This is what the Bible said. So, it's a great blessing to be in Christ. If tonight you are out of Christ, God is not your Father. God is not your Father. There is a way you can be in Christ. There is one way for to be in Christ. You need to believe and be baptized. And you will be in Christ. And God will be your Father. May I ask you a question? Are you a child of God in the biblical sense of the word? Are you sure? You can leave this place in the same way you came here. But you... But tonight, you have a great opportunity to be child of God. Would you like to be a child of God tonight? You can't.